Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
The old news.
Ben and Woods news breaking for you here at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. So, got a Rindle report here in a couple of minutes. And then, usually at 9:35, we'll take a look ahead at this evening's opponent. So, on Monday, it's usually a new team comes in, new series, and that is the case tonight. And we'd give you our thoughts on the Houston Astros. But Paulie is taking it one step further. He just confirmed that coming up at 9:35, we will be joined by friend of the program and Houston Astros broadcaster, Jeff Blum, is going to be with us at 9:35.
Blummer, the best.
Do like Blum.
Thought about it this morning. I go, wait. That's very unlike us to not even have thought to reach out to get him on.
We love
That's pretty scatterbrained all weekend.
Former Padre great.
You know what? I'm going to wait, give him a couple hours, let him wake up, reach out. He's the man right
He's
away.
The best. Goes, we love
yeah,
Blummer.
Let's do it.
So this is a big series for the Astros as well. While they are got a comfortable 4.5 game lead over the Seattle Mariners in the AL West, that could change, if they had a bad series here in San Diego. And you got to, anytime you're looking and going and facing the Padres at Petco Park, you're going, we better bring our A game because they're playing their A game right now. The Mariners are going, come on, Padres, we need your help here. We need you to win this series. Hey, maybe even sweep and give us a chance to climb back in this. And all of a sudden, the Astros could be in a fight over their last 3 series. So still big series for Houston. They're kind of five, I think they're 5 games or 4.5 back of the second seed. So you're kind of locked in at the moment, but that could still change if they don't play well. So they need to continue what they've been doing over the second half of the season after their slow start. They've climbed, 13 games above 500. You know, Padres are 20 games above 500.
Crazy.
Just depends. In one division, that's good enough to be up by 4.5 games.
Yeah.
13 games. Padres are 20 games above 500, and they're 3.5 games back.
Correct.
Because they're in a much tougher division than the Astros have been in this year.
I'm excited to talk to Blummer. Always a great time.
All right, so we'll have more baseball talk coming up, but I want to leave plenty of room. Paulie's got a bunch of stuff to get to. Let's start with today's Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
2 stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And 1 story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Birthday boy.
Gentlemen.
Birthday was good.
Birthday was great.
Where'd you eat?
So, Friday night.
I can't say it either, so I want you to say it because I can't pronounce it.
I can say it.
Hold on. Not you. I want to hear Paul. Right.
Vigilucci's.
Is that right?
Yeah, nailed it.
I always pull like a Vigilucci's.
Vigilucci's.
Hey, how you doing? Vigilucci's.
Vigilucci's.
What is it?
Vigilucci's.
Vigilucci's. Are you sure?
Vigilucci.
So I had never been there before. They have 3 or 4 locations right here in San Diego. And I've driven by the one on Carlsbad Boulevard right across from the ocean many times.
Sure.
Sometimes like 9:30 at night. And it is packed.
Bumping.
It looks amazing. Finally checked it out. Holy crap.
You
like
it?
One of the best meals I've ever had.
Delicious.
It's Italian, but steak and seafood.
I couldn't tell by Vigilucci's.
Well, okay. So what I mean by that is if you go to a steakhouse, you order a steak.
Correct.
Don't order the chicken or something.
Right.
If you go to a seafood place, don't order
steak.
Or order the seafood, right?
Right.
So this is a Italian restaurant with a huge pasta menu, but then they also are it's Vigilucci's Steakhouse and Seafood. Yeah. So, really, you couldn't go wrong.
It's the best combination. An Italian chop house.
Delicious.
Where you can get like a pasta, appetizer and then like a prime steak is your secondi, your main dish.
I don't know how much longer I can do this.
Megan got a filet.
You see him? He's worse than a secondi.
God.
Mangia.
The filet was melting your mouth. Ooh. She had a side of spaghetti olio. Alleluia?
Aglio-olio. Garlic and butter. Garlic and oil.
I like Italian man.
Italian man is elite.
And then I had this pasta with prime, like short rib stuffed into the pasta.
Oh. Was, ravioli?
Like kinda a ravioli like pasta with just the most amazing short rib. Oh, so good. So that was delicious.
All right, I went there a long time ago. Got to put it back on the list.
Highly recommend.
Revisit.
That's like my mom. I was like, okay, next time you're in town, that's where you go. Because ocean view, sunset, delicious meal. Yeah. How could you go wrong? So, yeah. On the birthday note, I just wanted to thank a lot of people, actually. Thank you for everybody that reached out. But in particularly, the 50 to 60 people that DM'd me, the men that DM'd me and said, happy birthday, Pauly, from a dad.
Oh, man. God dang it. You missed this.
It was such a throwaway comment on Friday morning, Benny. You weren't here, but Gary Woods texted me at like 6 o'clock in the morning. Happy early birthday, Pauly. Love you. Love what you do for the show. Appreciate you. I said, thanks, Dad.
Oh.
And then a couple hours later, during the show, Woods goes, now my dad texted you. And I said, yeah, he did. Thanks again, Gary. It's nice to get a birthday text from a dad.
Any dad. Murdered me.
Bro, I had like 50 people DM me, and they go, hey, I don't know if you were joking or not, but I'm a dad to three boys. And I just wanted to say, dude, it killed me. Huge smile on my face every single time on so Saturday. Thank you all.
So Paul has got many dads now for his birthday.
Yeah, it's like on Father's Day.
All throughout San Diego and beyond.
Takes one.
Every year on Father's Day, I post a picture of like me and Randy Jones or Steve Fisher.
It's a very uncomfortable bit.
All right. You know what else is uncomfortable is San Diego State football. That offense.
But I was told.
We're on the road this weekend in Cal.
But I was told.
Did you go to the game?
What?
You were up there.
You're up there. Cal, you could have gone. Why not? Saturday
our buddy Jack
night?
On our baseball team, doing? He said he wasn't going to be here this weekend because he was going to watch the Giants and the Aztecs were playing at Cal. I thought maybe you tagged along.
That's why I was seeing all those Cal sweaters everywhere. Okay, I get
Cal
it.
Cal Berkeley.
Cal Berkeley.
It's right there.
Yep. No, I did not go.
We said, you mentioned earlier when we talked a little bit of football that your lock of the week was the Tampa Bay
plus 7.5. They won outright.
I don't remember if we said it on the air or not.
We did.
But we did say San Diego State plus 18.5, I think, was the line.
Take Cal.
And they covered.
They did. It was dicey there for a minute. It was 7-3 at the half, I think.
Now, if you had taken over 18.5 penalties, you would have lost because I think they only had 15 this week.
Oh, God.
13 in the first half. There's like 136
or something.
Division I FBS college football teams. No one has been penalized more than the Aztecs in 3 weeks. It's flag fest.
It's
and most of them are on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And most of them are on plays where they actually gain yardage. It really is.
They got shut out.
Yes.
And then they had a field goal. It's 6 quarters of football. They scored 3 points.
It's been rough.
What's changed? You know? I mean, it's the same.
The optimist.
Defense kept them
now,
in
they
it
had a
again.
Touchdown called back. Yep. On a penalty.
Yep.
The optimist would say, hey, new staff, new guys.
It's going to take some time.
Take some time to gel, but you don't really have a lot of time in football.
You really don't.
It's not a 162-game season, man.
You really don't.
No, they're a quarter of the way through the year already.
I'm afraid. I think their national championship hopes might be dwindling.
Now, they do have a bye this week and a chance to maybe work on some fundamental discipline issues. You know, here's how you block without holding, guys. You can't hold. They're going to call it on you. And then that negates the big run we just had.
Yep.
So it's been frustrating. It's 3 games. Every coach deserves more than 3 games to put in a new system, to get players to understand the concepts he is trying to teach. And I understand that, but I saw some Aztecs fans, like the real diehard alums, going, this is not what we expected at this point. And they're starting to get a little impatient with Sean Lewis, which is, I don't know if it's fair, but that's the reality of any sport. When you promise change and you get like more of the same and even worse,
it's tough.
It's not fun, and it hasn't been fun so far.
All right, that's it for the sports today in the Rindle Report. Got a couple other stories. I need Woodsy's help with the third story. We will talk a little Emmys. Emmy Awards were yesterday, and
I missed it entirely. I looked at Twitter and I was like, so-and-so won. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know it was on. I was like...
I've said it a million times, not a huge award show guy, and I've decided the Emmys are by far my favorite because, well, I've watched most of these shows, heard of them.
We will all watch a lot of TV.
We've seen
most of these.
We watched the Oscars, though, and it's like I haven't heard of four out of five of these movies.
Yeah, I'll
and then
go
the
back
one,
sometimes.
I haven't seen it yet, so I haven't gotten around. It's not streaming yet, so I didn't see it in theaters or whatever. But the Emmys, a lot of the shows that won big I had seen. I think the biggest winner was Shogun, which I actually have not seen, but I was aware of it.
I started it, and it's look, I'm a ADD guy. Like, I put some TV on to fall asleep, kind of zone out. You can't do that with Shogun. You have to be sitting there locked in on Shogun. But by the way, visually and all that, spectacular.
Yeah, they won best drama, best
show.
Lead actor. I mean, they cleaned up.
The Bear did very well.
We've all seen
The Bear. Yep, we love The Bear.
Jeremy Allen White won lead actor in a comedy series.
It's not a comedy, but okay.
I thought they switched it to drama this year.
They were listed as comedy last night. Cousin Richie. He won Best Supporting Actor.
He's the best, dude.
And Tina won Best Supporting Actress.
I swear to God, if you haven't seen season 3 yet, there's a one that focuses on Tina and her story. I mean, it's gut-wrenching. So beautiful.
I learned yesterday that I don't remember her last name, but the girl, the lead in The Bear, she wrote that episode.
Did she?
Or produced it or something. Like, that was her baby.
Just brilliant, man. Yeah. Baby Reindeer cleaned up. One of the best shows I've ever seen.
That's one I haven't seen yet.
But you haven't started it?
I haven't started it.
You gotta watch it.
Oh, Betty. It's one of those.
So, Shelley had a chance. She watched it without me, which means it's hard to sometimes get in because you watch it.
It's not. You watch your own stuff.
Well, I don't have time necessarily
it's not,
always to
this
watch
this bit
my own
of,
stuff.
Of husband. Well, you watched it without. Just watch your own stuff. We're grown ups here. We're all grown adults.
Baby Reindeer was listed as a limited
but then when the other person's sitting with you and you want to watch something they haven't seen yet, like so you can be together.
What?
Watch. This is not a foreign concept.
It's really good.
Just watch the show. You don't need to. Just watch. Dude, watch the show, bitch. Just watch it. Well, I can't watch it because you've already seen it. Just watch it. It's that good. You know me. I can't pay attention for more than 4 seconds. Within 4 seconds of Baby Reindeer, I was like, oh, my God, what is happening? Yeah. I mean, he got me
Richard Gadd,
immediately.
He won lead actor for that.
Brilliant.
And then Jessica Gunning, she won Best Supporting Actress in a limited series or movie.
The last show my wife and I watched together was The Sopranos, because I forced her to sit. I go, you have to see this. I will watch it with you. I'll mansplain everything you don't know. Let's go. And
so
I asked,
do you watch like different things at the same time, like together though?
Yeah, we're normal.
Yes,
we're normal.
But like, so you can't watch your television then?
No, we were with sports on our TV,
and then just like your phones, you're watching your shows.
Yeah,
but you're
I don't watch 600-pound Swiss person gets married to a blind guy shows like she does. I can't do it.
I think you just combined 4 reality shows into one right there.
Hey, Rudy, Rudy, talk baseball, not dinner, sports show. Rudy, if you don't get it, 6 years of this, 6 years, it's not going to change. Go somewhere else.
And then you'll come back when you realize we're going to talk sports again real soon.
Everybody just settle down.
6 years.
And then Hacks also won a bunch of awards.
Hacks is a great show.
Very good show. Just real quick on the Emmys.
I needed to get that
I got
out.
Funny
Sorry.
Or I got weird. What would you like?
The one we talked about this morning.
So,
I don't get this at all.
So watching last night at the Emmys, they do the In Memoriam segment. Every award show has it. People that we have lost over the last year.
Shout out to their family.
Shout out to their family. It's their version.
There was one omission, everybody said, Matthew Perry.
But no.
He was actually honored on the last Emmys. But it was awkward because they had Jelly Roll out there for the In Memoriam segment.
It's funny to say his name. The name alone makes me laugh. Yeah. All right, now presenting for the people that we have lost, Jelly Roll.
And he sang a song while they're showing all the photos on the slideshow. But the song was, it's a good song. It's I'm Not Okay, I think is the name of it.
It's extremely sad. I listened to it last week.
It's a good song, but it's about like mental health and depression and like suicidal thoughts. And I'm watching that and I go, I don't know that this is the right tone at all for In Memoriam.
They're dead. They're not sad.
I'm not okay.
Well, maybe the people who are left are sad and you're singing about them. What did you think about that?
I guess.
And then there was a funny moment yesterday. John Oliver won an award for his late night show, and he was getting played off. He's talking too long, but listen to this.
Thanks to everyone at HBO, Nina and Casey in particular. I also want to thank, it's going to be very silly, our dog. We had the most fantastic dog, and she was at our wedding, and she got us through a pandemic. She was with us for the two pregnancies.
Here's the music.
And perfect choice of music. We had to say goodbye to her. And,
This is F you.
It is. I feel like Sarah McLachlan right now.
Who is Sarah McLachlan?
She was an amazing dog, and
everyone's so uncomfortable.
I would guess I want to. This isn't just for her. This is for all dogs. All dogs. You're all very good girls. You're very good boys. You all deserve a treat. Play me off now.
Incredible. Incredible.
Oh, gosh. And then
they should have had Jelly Roll play the music off.
Yeah, Jelly Roll.
I'm not okay.
And then I want to just do the last story here in our next segment. We got a short segment because, Woodsy, what the hell happened with Jane's Addiction over the weekend? I've never quite seen.
Did you guys see this?
Anything like the video that I saw.
Did you see the fight, Ben?
From Friday night.
No.
They had a concert on Friday night that led to a fist fight on stage.
Yeah, Perry Farrell went after. I mean, they've been one of my favorite bands. They were one of the most ingenious, innovative bands back in the 80s and 90s. And really, 90s is where they kind of made their scene. But huge, huge band. They just played Petco Park on this exact same tour. And Perry has had a long time.
He punches him, right?
Yeah, he's had a long time struggle with substances. And so is Dave, for that matter, Dave Navarro. And Perry was singing and he was yelling and he's going yeah at the end of the song, and then he goes right up to Dave Navarro, his guitar player, longtime guitar player, and goes F you. And Dave's standing there going, now I'll tell you this, man, I watched this video 50 times. The look in Dave's face isn't the look of anger, it's the look of sympathy
and concern.
Because he's watching his front man melt down again on stage. And
lights go down. They put the guitars down.
He takes a punch at him, and Dave's just standing there like, what just happened? We just did this in the middle of our set in front of an audience. This is embarrassing. I think the thing that bummed me out, so they've canceled the rest of the tour, and they put out a statement, did not lay blame, but it said, essentially, Perry is experiencing mental health issues. They're saying he finds the help that he needs. And I'm so happy to see this morning, because I'll tell you, after the show, I was pretty bummed to see Perry's wife kind of go on and defend Perry. And she's like basically enabling him the whole time and saying, guys, the guitar has been way louder than the vocals. And it's been an ongoing thing. And Perry's just been, it's just boiled over because Perry feels like he's not being heard on stage. And it's like, lady, we all know Perry Farrell. We've all known Perry Farrell and what he's gone through for 30 years now. It's sad to see you keep enabling him, and he keeps making these mistakes, and you're like, no, it's okay. The monitors were too loud. It really bummed me out. So this morning, to hear the update, I'm very, very pleased to see, and hopefully Perry gets the help he needs, but I just don't think they need to be a band anymore. I just don't think it's tenable with this situation, man.
That doesn't even make sense.
I know.
Like that would be me saying, Woods, your
mic's
microphone
too loud.
Is louder than mine.
And then you punch
him. And then punch you for it. Is his microphone louder than mine?
It is not.
I can make it
that
way.
Can you?
Can you boost mine so I sound a little bit more rich? Hello.
Hello.
Yeah,
hello?
That now we're talking. Now this is what
hello?
The show.
Can anyone hear me?
This is what hello? The show should sound like.
Hello.
This show should. This is what it sounds like.
Paul, can anyone hear me? Why is my microphone so low?
Yeah, here we go. This is great.
I need to punch someone.
How great does this sound?
It really would be Paul. I would punch.
Yeah, you'd be mad at Paul. I didn't do anything.
It's just like I'm not. I don't control the mic. I don't control the volume of the guitar, dude. I'm just playing it up here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Hi, Rudy. Back to sports in our next segment, just briefly, at the bottom of the hour. I do want to discuss the one team in Major League Baseball that is in the torture chamber right now, right this second, when it comes to pitching injuries. That's next after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
You don't want to know what we've been talking about during the break,
don't.
So we'll just pass right on by that and get to
squatty potties.
That's what we were talking about. Thank you, Paulie. The Los Angeles Dodgers pitching rotation, which took another huge hit over the weekend when it was determined, and you probably talked about this a little on Friday. Tyler Glasnow, not going to be likely returning this season.
No, and I don't, this is not meant to come off being a jerk, and I really don't mean it to be a jerk. But is anyone really surprised?
No, and the Dodgers aren't even surprised. They expected to get, you know, about 115 to 130 innings from Tyler Glasnow. They just hoped that some of those would be during October. They had him, you know, he had his break, remember, at the All-Star break. He went on the injured list, and they were trying to manage it, and they were pretty happy with what they've gotten out of him all season long.
He's been great.
He's been really exactly what they were hoping for.
It's just the
timing here of him finally going down. They would have much rather had this happen in, like, June.
Of course.
For a couple of months, and now he's coming back strong later in the year, but it looks like he's not coming back at all.
Yeah. So they said after the game, too, and this was a little weird. And again, like, I wasn't going to, like, do this and don't do this. I kick somebody when they're down, man. But I did find it a little weird. And I think Dodger fans did, too. I saw a lot of this going around on social media. So he gets so apparently he goes out to throw a pen. I think it was on Friday. And I swear I read in Atlanta on the road.
And it was going to be his last step before coming back to the rotation. It all went well.
So I swear I read he didn't even throw a pitch. Like, it could have come in, like, warm-ups for this, like, to get ready to throw this pin. And he was done. And he walked off. Media was there, and they asked him, Tyler, is everything okay? He said, not right now, guys. No problem. I totally get that. Next day, we're going to reevaluate and see if he can throw a pen. No. Next day, his locker's cleared out and he's gone. Which is, again, I think, you know, hey, man, this is what's happening in your elbow or your shoulder, whatever it is. I'm going to split. I'm going to go see my surgeon, my doctor, my agent, whatever it is. Not that uncommon. I thought the uncommon part was when they asked Dave, do you know where he went? And Dave Roberts said, no, I don't. Don't know where he flew off, and we don't know where he flew off to. That's weird to me. I'm sorry. Like, I would say if it was Joe Musgrove that did it, I'd be like, Joe, that's weird. That's a weird thing to do. I'm not saying he needs to be in
it
a.
Kind of did happen. Like, remember when Fernando Tatis Jr. just left?
Yes.
El Paso or wherever he was at.
Yeah, dude.
It was right before the suspension.
We knew. We found out later. But I don't think this is coming down.
People are like, oh, I saw him at the airport. Yeah. And they're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, it's very weird.
You know, the details matter. If like the GM and the head trainer and doctors know where he went and that just hadn't been communicated to Dave yet. That's one thing. If, right. Like, no one in the organization knows, like, where he's gone.
I don't think he went AWOL or anything like that. I think the guy's probably pretty emotional about it and was like, I'm out of here, you know? So, which, it's weird. But
I mean, not that you know, starting pitchers who are not healthy are not exactly guys you'd want sitting around with your team the whole time. I mean, that's not the kind of emotional leader you're looking for in an injured pitcher. Even a guy like Joe Musgrove knows. When he's hurt, there's not much you can do as an injured starting pitcher. You can offer some emotional support, but you're in a bad place. When you're an injured pitcher, you can be a drag on a clubhouse in a locker room. You know, it's kind of a sad thing seeing an injured pitcher sitting there in the corner.
Well, that is, Ben.
You know, waiting to come back.
The flip side to that coin, though, is the flip side to that coin is you've got guys like Bobby Miller who, I mean, look. If everything goes the way the Dodgers are expecting it to, and that's to win a playoff series and go to the next round, you're telling me, and he may very well be back by then. This could be all much ado about nothing, but Tyler Glasnow's expertise and preparing and getting ready for a playoff start, you know, I don't know. I found it to be a weird story. And it wasn't just me. This isn't me making a mountain out of molehill. I saw this from a lot of the fans on my feed this weekend going, holy smokes. But again, you know, Tyler Glasnow doesn't owe anybody anything other than the L.A. Dodgers. They're the one that pay him, I think, $28 million a year. But if you were super surprised by this as a Dodger fan, I don't know how you could be.
But ultimately, right now, their playoff rotation looks like Jack Flaherty,
yep.
Who got hit hard by the Braves over the weekend.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
He did.
Some of that game. I thought he settled in. I don't know.
No, I mean, he wasn't horrible. He was much better in his other starts.
In his other starts.
Yamamoto, who they're still trying to build back from the rotation. And after that, it's a big question mark.
Bro, they are
Bueller's been not very good yesterday. He was better yesterday, but
they're literally talking about is Shohei Ohtani going to pitch.
That's desperation.
It is desperation. You have a massive investment in this guy. You've already lost him for a full year pitching. And you may run him out there in a playoff game. I mean, look, if he says he's ready to go, it'd be very tempting
But man, in the highest of leverage situations right away for like your first appearance
nuts.
Off Tommy
well,
John surgery.
Well, we all know what this would do for the legend of Shohei. Like he needs any more lore added to his legend. It would be wild, but, you know, strange things have happened.
The opposite of the Dodgers rotation. Probably the Astros rotation right now. I really didn't even bother looking at who's pitching because every single one of their pitchers has been fantastic, like in the second half of the season. So you're going to face three good pitchers over the next 3 days. When we come back, we will talk with former Padre and current Astros broadcaster Jeff Blum about the team the Padres are getting set to face at Petco Park tonight. That is coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Houston Astros, yeah, really got off to a bad start. You remember how bad of a start that they got off to this season?
How bad was it?
So at one point early this season, the Astros were 12-24. They had lost two out of every three games for more than a month. That was May 8th when they lost to the Yankees. Dropped to 12-24.
Bro, I remember seeing stuff on, right, it's time. It's time to trade Bregman. Trade all these guys. Let's reload and restock. And boy, I bet they're glad they did.
As late as June 18th, they were still sitting at 33-40. And then they ran off a long winning streak to get above 500 and pretty much have since then been one of the best teams in baseball. I'm dying to ask Jeff Blum, what turned this team around
right
when they were down kind of in the depths, in the bottom, like battling with the A's for last place in the AL West? Paulie's getting him online. He is going to join us right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And we're joined right now by former Padre, Major League Baseball player, and now Astros broadcaster, television analyst, Jeff Blum. Blummer back with Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Always great to have you on, Jeff.
Yeah, I always appreciate the opportunity. It's good to be back in town and talking a little Padres Astros. Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure, Blummer. Welcome back. And I'm telling you, man, we were just talking about the start of the season, and we kind of made a bet with each other in here. We said, listen, after last year's disappointment for the Padres, we're not going to start throwing out the it's early card. The Astros, I think, were able to say it's early because they've got some skins on the wall, Blummer. And how did you feel, you know, watching them every single night? Were you confident they were going to turn it around? And what led to that turnaround?
No, I wasn't confident at all. It's kind of ironic how spoiled we've gotten over the last 7 years with how well this organization has played and how deep they've gotten into the playoffs consistently. So when you break out in, you know, April and mid-May and realize that you're starting to fall apart a little bit, there's injuries, and then you get to that June 3rd moment when Kyle Tucker goes down, you just kind of said, you know what, the run was great. We'll wait and see what happens. But for whatever reason, they were able to patchwork together a rotation with a rookie in Spencer Arrighetti. They were able to get Ronel Blanco to go out there and pitch like a frontline starter every day. And they've been able to keep those particular guys healthy. Now, they've been walking a razor-thin line as far as health is concerned with that rotation. But the turnaround really started with that starting rotation, being able to shut guys down and just give enough time for that offense to figure out how to go out there and score runs to win. So it's been interesting. But early on, I was making some plans in October, man.
Sorry, they've interrupted all your golf plans.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I mean, we're going to have to put this on the back burner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they haven't clinched anything, but they got a 4.5 game lead, I believe, over the Mariners. They're also still like 4.5 back or five and a half back of the Guardians for the second seed. So you're not locked in, but what's kind of the mentality here for these last 2 weeks, just trying to kind of ramp up into playoff form?
Yeah, and I think it's to try and get some guys healthy and give them some days off because, you know, Joe Espada, the manager for the Astros, is kind of in a unique spot where during that middle part of the year when they made that run and got rid of that 10-game deficit that they had falling behind the Mariners, they had to play their starting nine every single day to try and get back and hunt wins in the middle part of the season. And in doing that and catching back up and gaining that 4.5-game lead, you've had to play those regulars every single day. So I think down the stretch, it's going to be paramount that they still try and get those wins. At the same time, giving, you know, the Jeremy Peñas, the Altuves, Bregmans, Yordan Alvarez, and some of these guys days off. Yet at the same time, trying to keep their timing down and keep their rhythm going potentially into the postseason. So they're still hunting wins. They want to clinch that playoff spot. I don't know if they can get to that second seed, but that would be special if they did.
Well, I'll tell you, I watched a little bit of the Angels Astros, and I thought Yordan is looking a little bit.
Sandy looks a great place for a day off for some of your stars
place,
where they can really enjoy America's finest city without worrying about playing that night, Blummer.
You put in a good word. And get Yordan off his feet. I don't know, nice 3-day rest for him, and then get him dialed in for the next series. I'll tell you what, watching him hit is it's a true revelation. And it's funny because we've got Luis Arraez here, Blummer, and you played in the big leagues for a long time. You know how difficult and almost impossible it is to hit big league pitching. And you're watching Yordan do it at a prodigious rate. And of course, he's got the slug and the power, but you watch Arraez and, you know, bat to ball, there's just nobody better. It's just so fun to watch these two talents. Seemingly, you know, they'll be squaring off this week, and it should be a lot of fun.
No, I completely agree. And I actually appreciate the fact that the Padres went out and got a guy like Luis Arraez to put into a lineup that has so much power and so much, you know, it's such a dynamic lineup, you know, 1 through 9 with what you guys have down here in San Diego, that putting Arraez at the top, who's a high contact guy, low strikeout, I think it's kind of interesting that he's kind of that prototypical old school get on base type guy and kind of sets the table for those thumpers behind him to drive him in. So it's been kind of fun to watch the Padres from afar have that lineup that actually has somebody that sets a table at the top of the lineup and hates the strikeout. I kind of enjoy that, and it kind of, you know, takes us back to those Tony Gwynn-type days where you want somebody that can manipulate the baseball and get on base and score some runs. So that's a lot of fun, but I'm glad that you guys are bringing up Yordan Alvarez and you have that healthy fear of him and respect for him.
He's unreal.
He's absolutely amazing. You know, he burst on the scene in 2019. He's 6'5", 240 pounds. He's an Adonis in the box. You're waiting for him to hit it 450 feet. I think he averages about 410 feet on his home runs. But then you look at the other numbers, and he steps in with a 310 batting average, 35 home runs,
crazy,
85 RBIs. And this guy, I don't think he gets the respect around the league because you have guys like Aaron Judge and the Manny Machados and all this. But he is one of the best hitters in the league, and it's great to see him get that recognition, hopefully through the long haul of his career. But he's putting up ridiculous numbers on a daily basis.
Blummer, since Woods brought up Luis Arraez, I want to get the perspective of a guy who was a good contact hitter. I mean, you never struck out 100 times even once in your career. Mm-hmm. Let's see, like 2003, 449 plate appearances, only 50 strikeouts.
Wow, man.
But Luis Arraez has struck out twice since the All-Star break, and not in more than a month. He's gone 140 times, and by the way, he's facing, you know, 97, 99 relievers who are throwing 100 every night. I mean, what does that say to you as a former big leaguer that there's a guy who can even do that nowadays?
Yeah, no, I have the utmost respect for hitters that are going out nowadays trying to face guys that are throwing 97. Everything is overwhelmingly powerful. Guys are trying to spin the hell out of the baseball. Sometimes the command isn't even there because they're trying to throw so hard. So I have the utmost respect for what these guys are trying to go out there and do. And the fact that in this day and age of swing and miss on both the pitching side and on the hitting side, that's where I'm fascinated by what Luis Arraez is able to do in not striking out. Because you are going to see on a daily basis, you could see anywhere from 92 to 102 miles an hour. And then you've got these guys with these devastating, you know, RPMs of 3,000 that everybody talks about. But I know for the hitter, it's just more or less being able to pick the ball up out of the hand, recognizing tendencies. So there's a lot of things on the peripheral that I think that maybe we don't see Luis Arraez do because he's so good at bat-to-ball skills, that he's probably doing a ton of homework behind the scenes or developing, you know, his own mental database against a lot of these pitchers. Or he's watching the sequencing of what these guys are doing throughout the game so that when he gets up there, he's not, you know, he's not overwhelmed or surprised by anything, and he can still put the ball in play. But it's amazing to me how long he sees the baseball because his swing is so compact. There's not a lot of movement, so his head is still, and that allows him to see the ball longer. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him hit in the series.
We're talking to our pal Jeff Blummer here on Ben and Woods this morning. I'm looking at the pitching matchups for this week. I mean, again, I think both teams looking at this as, all right, this is a potential. Now, the only time you run into each other again would be in a World Series, Blummer. So,
yeah.
Which, again, is not out of the realm of possibility. It sounds weird for us to say here in San Diego. Not that weird for you guys, but Eric Geddy is a rookie. And, you know, look, you look at his peripheral numbers, you're like, well, okay, whatever. But he's a confident, confident kid. High strikeout guy. Then you got Hunter Brown, who, you know, I think he started slow. He's had a really nice year. And then you got Framber Valdez against Dylan Cease on Wednesday. This is about as good as it gets.
No, I completely agree. And you love it when you're late in the season, you've got two contending teams going at it. And then you add in the element, like you said, National League versus American League. And then you kind of have this potential to kind of try and sell. You know, this is a potential World Series matchup, which, you know, selfishly I would thoroughly enjoy because they're my two favorite cities in the nation. But at the same time, you know, you want to have these matchups. You want to have these two great teams going at it and kind of duking it out with the best pitching that they do have. You don't want to have your, you know, your 3, 4, 5s in the rotation. You want to have those 1, 2, 3s, and you're going to get a couple of those matchups. Spencer's kind of been a revelation this year, and kind of forced into serve some of the injuries that the Astros have had. And he got off to a rough start, but he was the rookie pitcher of the month in August. He struck out 47 guys in 5 starts. He's a young pitcher who hunts the strikeout, which is kind of interesting and kind of makes him that modern-day pitcher. But if he's locating his fastball in the mid-90s and is actually able to land a couple of curveballs early in the game, he'll be in good shape because then he can work off that mix off the fastball. Hunter Brown is a guy that turned his season around when he just started to get angry and throw his fastball angrily. So he's been a lot of fun to watch. But I'm kind of looking forward to that getaway game, that third game of the series. because, you know, we all saw Dylan Cease with the White Sox, and obviously that situation wasn't all that great, but now you put Dylan Cease on a contending team and you get to see maybe the real Dylan Cease, and he has been a lot of fun to watch, and I love the way the ball comes out of his hand. And then you have Framber Valdez, who's been the number one all season long for the Astros. He gets a lot of ground balls. He's tough to elevate, and that's going to be a great matchup on Wednesday.
Well, Jeff, we're going to be down there pregame today, so hopefully we'll run into you in person, but it's always good to have you back in San Diego, at least for the next 3 days, and I really appreciate you joining us, giving us some perspective on the Astros.
No, you guys are great, and I always appreciate the opportunity to come on the radio down here. Keep it up.
Thanks, Blum. Appreciate you, man.
Love Jeff Blum, Houston Astros television broadcaster and analyst and former major leaguer. Loved when he was on the Padres, and good stuff on the Houston Astros, you know, with Espada, who was kind of the wait in the wings guy, yep. And Schilt sort of like that for the Padres the last couple of years. Now, both the manager getting their first season, full season, and going pretty well for both of them now.
This is not a great
After slower starts.
Yeah, man. He's Blummer's awesome. I had no idea that he was that good of a contact hitter, man. I watched his whole career. You know, it's just not something I thought about back then because you felt like a lot of guys were more contact hitters back then.
Yeah, it was a different era.
Different
for
era,
sure.
Certainly.
Not facing
him now.
Quite as much gas.
Yeah,
and that's, right. That's what it makes what Luis Arraez is doing.
Yep.
So incredibly spectacular. So, yeah, we're planning on going down before the game. The last homestand of the year, Padres have...
How did we get here so fast, man?
It's crazy, dude.
It's over.
I blinked.
So tonight's the Arraez. It's the theme game bobblehead.
Okay.
And by the way, those are sold out according to the Padres, but Arraez already getting his own bobblehead. Then tomorrow is the... another theme game, Korean Heritage theme game. And then Wednesday is the Tatis Platinum Glove bobblehead for everybody, which is now you can have two of them because he had another great catch over the weekend, right?
It was a sliding catch.
Oh, that was the one. That was last week, actually, in the loss. But that was
the sliding catch was this weekend.
Yeah, and he had a home run robbing catch last week. Playing great defense again.
Well, there was one in the studio that we could have shown you, but I took it home. We had two. Good. I took one home, and my kids were very excited.
And then it'll be the final three games of the homestand and schedule this season against the Chicago White Sox on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then that's it. Nothing guaranteed in the postseason.
Worst games of our lives right there. There it is. Fernando Tatis, Platinum Glove. Yeah, man.
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Well, we're going down, too, for a special reason. I'm going to interview Michael King today because he's got a new foundation that he's launching. And we're going to talk to him, going to say hello to most of the guys down there and see what's what.
I'm really excited because part of what he's doing is trying to help find a cure for type 1 diabetes, mm-hmm. which is something that my son suffers from. So any support and research is greatly appreciated.
Cool event coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, I expect a
off day.
Big fat donation from you, Mr. Higgins.
To his donation.
I'll let him ask me for what he needs.
His foundation.
I will offer my support.
The King of the Hill Foundation.
King of the Hill Foundation.
King
expect a nice
of the hill.
Fat donation,
the
Ben.
Hill, like the mound. The hill.
A big
I get it.
Fat donation.
Clever name. All right, good Monday show. We are back all together again. Annie and Elston are coming up next. We will talk to you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. For Paul Reinl and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday from all of us here at 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. See ya.